each of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. I hope that you meant everything that you were saying. Where he leads, I'll follow. There's something that has to take place in our own hearts before our actions will say or follow those words, if I can say what I mean by that. That surrender of our own will to the will of God. And I find it, well, I think as a part of salvation initially, but I find it on a daily basis that those are still choices I have to make. And just that surrendered heart to the Lord and to His will, to His purpose, to His leading. Where He leads, I'll follow. And some of that leading is oftentimes not our choosing. It's not the way we would have chosen. But God is still leading. Will we follow? Beautiful. Beautiful commitments, beautiful words, real blessing. Could we kneel together for a word of prayer this morning? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we exalt you here this morning. We're grateful for this opportunity to be gathered together in this way, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to lift up and exalt your name, and also to be fed and to be edified from your word. We just pray you would again break the bread of life to us this morning, cause it to be rich in our own souls, Lord, and minister to our hearts the things that we need for today. We pray, Lord, that you would give me wisdom, give me grace to be able to share the things that you've laid upon my heart and to be able to edify the body here today, Lord, from your word. Lord, would you bless all of our brothers and sisters where they're gathered in this community as well as abroad, Lord. We pray that you would bless each congregation. Lord, may your spirit prevail upon the hearts of your people wherever they're gathered this morning. Lord, may you be exalted in our midst. We praise you, we exalt you here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the ending of my studies this morning, as I was preparing the message, I discovered that I had used this title a little over a year ago. And because we're forgetful people, you all didn't know that. So I'm telling you now. But what it was found interesting is the Lord laid a totally different message on my heart. While I use a few of the same verses, the message is totally different than the other one. And so I find that interesting in my own life, and partly because of probably what the Lord is trying to work in my own heart in some of these areas. And I just am here to share it with you. So in the opening message, we heard out of 1 Thessalonians 5 that we should rejoice evermore. And what a beautiful exhortation for us to do that. Part of rejoicing comes as we have a song, right? It was asked in the children's lesson about being thankful and what that is. And has something to do with being happy. And I find also that when we're happy, we also have a song, don't we? And so these things seem to go hand in hand here this morning. But this here is a subject that I think will let everyone in on it. All of us. It doesn't matter here how old the children are or how old the grandpas are. It can, this subject, God lets us in on all of it. And that is the song of the redeemed. And both young, both old. And one thing I find a blessing is that it doesn't matter if you're a good singer and you can sing really well, or if you're a very poor singer and you're way off tune. It really doesn't matter when it comes to the song of the redeemed. Some of these thoughts came to me last Sunday as I was sitting here listening to the message and just made a few notes of them. Later on in the week, we were actually talking about this. My wife and I were. But there's something about giving God the praise that He is worthy of. And I'd like to focus in on this, maybe specifically my burden this morning, because it's coming from my own experience and what the Lord is trying to work in my own life. But just this thought of, if we've been redeemed, we as individuals that have been bought with the precious blood of Christ, should we not be giving Him His worth? Should we not be exalting the name of the Lord Jesus personally in your quiet moments when you're driving down the road or when you're just alone, that there's just, you know, we were talking about praying without ceasing. I think this is a part of that. It's just that overflow coming from your heart in gratefulness and thankfulness to God for what He's done in our lives. And I think we need to continue to come back to that in our personal walk with God. It will keep your walk with God vibrant. It will keep your walk with God alive. And you know, we go through a lot of battles. We go through a lot of hard things sometimes. And sometimes we wonder, why can't we get this victory that we're desiring to have? Sometimes it's because we don't come back often enough to this fountain, to this water of life, this place where we just exalt the name of the Lord Jesus for what He's done for us. Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 20. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read it here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice that little phrase. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, what is the result of being filled with the Spirit? It's the very next verse. There's actually a number of things here. But we want to just look specifically at this next verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 51, verse 11, it says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. This was in the time frame of the children of Israel being in Babylon. They were taken captives over to Babylon. And this was before they returned. And this was a prophecy Isaiah was lifting up here. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. If you also remember, at that very time frame, there was in Babylon, the people of Babylon required, it says, of the Jews a song. And they said, how can we sing in a strange land? How can we sing? It says something about hanging their harps on the willow trees at that time. And their song was taken away. But God wants to renew that in us. And He says here that the redeemed of the Lord are going to return and come with singing unto Zion. and everlasting joy is going to be on their head. And we have in the book of Revelation 5, chapter 5, verse 9 to 10, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." I'd like to talk about this song of the redeemed just a bit. First of all, in Zephaniah 3, verse 17, some of you might be aware of that verse there, but we don't often turn to the book of Zephaniah. It is in the Old Testament, in the latter part of the Old Testament, if you want to turn there. It might be a little difficult for you to find. But chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." And I was thinking about singing and how that singing is something that originated with God. It originated with God. I was doing a little research to see what secular society says about it. Well, it was pretty much as we think. Our secular society about us, because we do not want to acknowledge that there is a God, we don't go back to the beginning. So their minds go a lot of places, even some 35,000 years ago. Well, we know that that has nothing to do with the singing of today. But anyway, God is the originator with singing, because he says he will joy over thee with singing. God sings over his creation. We're part of his creation, are we not? God sings over his creation. And isn't that a blessing? I wonder what his song is. What is his song? We sing songs, and we sing songs about God. But what is he singing about us? I don't know that I have that answer, but I just wanted to put that in your minds to think about. But it has to do with the love that he has to us, toward us. Singing is also done by those who are unconverted, by wicked and immoral people. There is singing being done there. If we would just get both sides of the spectrum here, we're talking about the song of the redeemed this morning. But I thought it was good for us to consider as well, that Satan himself was a chief singer at one time in heaven. He was, before he had lifted himself up to be like God, here's what it says of him in Ezekiel 28, 13, the last part of the verse. He says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." And then just a little later on, he says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Today, I think some of this continues to penetrate humanity, the way that singing is done in our nation, as well as abroad in other countries as well. I think much of modern music is inspired by satanic powers. And we have country music. Some of you think maybe that's not too bad, but if you listen to the lyrics and the message that goes with those words, many times, it is far from the kingdom of God. It is far from biblical principle. It has, while the music might be appealing to your emotion and senses, the actual lyrics of it is far from the Word of God. And I think we need to be aware of that. Obviously, we have things like rock and roll and rap and all the other kinds of music that are from, I believe, the kingdom of darkness. And then today we have Christians, quote, who want to use the music, the same kind of music, and they just put Christian words to it. They add the gospel into it, and they want to say that this is good music for us. And we like it. We like the rhythms, we like the beats, and we like it, and it ministers to us, they say, but I believe it's mixing light and darkness. When you mix light and darkness, what do you have? Mud. You have quite a mix, don't you? When you mix light and darkness, what do you have when you mix white and black? You have gray. And you know, I think that gray has a lot to do with our music today. There's a lot of gray out there. A lot of gray out there. Well, the message isn't geared down those lines, but I think it's good for us to consider that when we think about the Song of the Redeemed, because I believe the Song of the Redeemed is not in the gray. It's in a very clear white, where the glory of God is lifted up and His name is praised, and there's no darkness with it, including the music of it. Now, they also have done research, and I found this interesting, that they've done research on people who sing and some of the effects physically that you get from singing. And that's across a pretty broad spectrum, obviously, but so much more so the Song of the Redeemed and what happens to us when we sing and we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus and our exalting Him for what He's done in our lives and is doing in our lives. These are very real things. So some of the research, I'm just going to quickly go through a few of these that I found. They say it relieves stress. Singing relieves stress. Number two, it stimulates the immune response. And I found this interesting because they also said right in there, in the midst of that, they said if a person is just listening and they're not singing themselves, if they're just listening, it still brings a relief to stress, but their body does not release or does not stimulate the body's immune system. There are certain chemicals, I guess, that are released that helps your immune system when you sing. But if you're not singing with, but you're just listening, it doesn't do that. It just relieves stress, and I found that interesting. Thirdly, it increases pain tolerance. Well, maybe that's a mind shift thing, but it's a good one. So maybe if you're in pain, maybe just lift up your voice and start singing. Let's see what happens. See if that helps that relief, bring some relief. Number four, it improves your lung functions. That makes sense, doesn't it? This one was interesting. Number five, and it enhances memory in people with dementia. Singing. It enhances memory in people with dementia. They can remember song lyrics. They might not remember a lot of things, but they can remember that. And you find that, especially amongst older people. I'm often amazed when you go to the nursing home and you have somebody that looks like they're just about totally out of it, and you're singing a very familiar song. What a friend we have in Jesus. And pretty soon their mouth is going. Yeah. It has some benefits, doesn't it? Number six, it helps with dealing with grief. Number seven, it improves your mental health and moods. Number eight, it helps with speaking abilities. They say it helps autism. They say it helps, I don't know if I can say this word. Forgive me if I say it wrong. Aphasia. I'm sure I mutilated that. Does anybody know what that word? Aphasia? Maybe aphasia? It's something that happens after a stroke, after a patient has a stroke, that recovery period of time. It helps. Singing helps that. Isn't that a blessing? Parkinson's disease, it helps that. And it even helps when we have stuttering issues. Isn't that a blessing? So those are some of the health benefits. Here's a few Bible examples that I'm just going to refer to as we go along here. Some out of the Old Testament, a few out of the New Testament. And you're more than welcome to turn to these or jot them down, look at them later. The first recording that we have of lyrics in the Old Testament was that of when the children of Israel had passed through the Red Sea, came out on the other side, all the Egyptians were destroyed that were coming after them. And God had brought a mighty victory to Israel. They were brought out of bondage. They were brought out of Egypt. What beautiful pictures, you know, for us. The Song of the Redeemed. God bringing people out and setting them free. They're on their way to the promised lands. And it says that Moses had this song in Exodus 15, verse 1 and 2, and it's the whole chapter there, but it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying," and here's the lyrics, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Isn't that beautiful? And we should read the whole chapter there. But it's just a beautiful picture of deliverance. And as I think about our own personal life and our redemption and what God has done for us, how many times is there just a song of victory coming from your heart to God? That's powerful. I just want to encourage myself. I want to encourage all of us to take that initiative. You might not be a very good singer, but just sing out what God is doing and has done in your life. The Song of Moses, it comes up again in Revelation 15, verse 3. It says, "And they sing." This is talking now in the context of heaven and the victory that was gotten over the beast and his image and his mark. And it says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb." The song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Here's something I didn't realize, but God actually told Moses, "There's another song I want you to write." This was toward the end of his life, toward the very end of his life. There was another song that God wanted Moses to write. And we don't have the lyrics as such, I don't believe, but it was to be taught to the children of Israel as a way of a reminder when they would enter the promised land. God knew in his foreknowledge that when the children of Israel would get to the promised land, that they would tend to want to lay down their armor. They would tend to want to just enjoy the things there. They would tend to start worshiping the gods of the lands. And God knew all that. And by way of a reminder, he wanted Moses to write this song. Deuteronomy 31, verse 19 to 22, he says to Moses, "Now therefore," this is God speaking to Moses, "Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And it says that they would remember that song. It was not to be forgotten. God is going to bring that to their minds. And isn't that something, how that something will trigger something in your mind and a song comes? Isn't that something? You know, songs that we know, something will trigger that and it just will start singing that song. That's beautiful. That's the song of Moses. Another Bible example here of Deborah and Barak. They sang after the victory over the Canaanites. Judges 5, verse 1 to 3 says, "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." We have a whole book of songs that were written by various authors, but quite a few of them were written by King David in the struggles and difficulties he went through with Saul, and after David was anointed king, and Saul actually tried to take David's life twice, and then many times after that as well. But David was very skillful with singing, but he wrote a lot of psalms, and we have record of those. Some of those psalms, I believe, also carried over. I think that's probably what they sang in the New Testament in the early church. That was some of the songs they had there, although it does talk about hymns there as well. So there must have been some songwriters, some poetry put to music at that time as well. But the Jewish people knew the Psalms. I believe they knew those Psalms and sang them. In the Old Testament specifically, we would have record of them singing. But some of the things that are written that stand out to me about these songs that were written in the book of Psalms, the things that stand out to me here was how David would express his faith in God. David would express his faith in God by singing. And I think with the song of the redeemed, we can do the same thing. Expressing our faith in God. David expressed his struggles with his enemies through song. Maybe you have struggles. We sing the song sometimes, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." How about that? David would express how God would deliver him out of the hand of his enemies. He expressed, even he took some of those songs and took them back to the song of Moses and the great deliverance there that came. The deliverance out of Egypt, the walk through the wilderness, there were songs, psalms written about that. And I think in David's mind, it was a way that he could put together a path of history that he could pass on in song to the people. And I think that's a beautiful way to pass on the gospel message in song to the people, to our children. We sing these little children's songs. Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, for the Bible tells me so. Very simple songs, but it's conveying a message. There is a continuity in the Old Testament. When we see the people of God, When we see them singing, there's a continuity of what was going on in their life many times. Many times it was after a battle that they sang. When the victory was won, there was a song that was sung. Sometimes it was as a way of encouragement. They would sing this song. Listen to these verses in 2 Samuel 22, 47 to 51. It says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore." Beautiful words of encouragement, encouraging. David says he encouraged himself in the Lord. I think singing was one of the ways he did it, encouraging himself in the Lord. You feel down, you feel discouraged, try it once. There might even be some psychological things that'll happen in your life, in my life, when we do that. God's people sang when God had delivered them from their enemies. It doesn't say that they were delivered from every enemy. But when God gave them a victory, they sang. How about us? When God gives you a victory, what do we do? Do we sing? Do we rejoice? Is it a song of the redeemed? They sang. They glorified God. What a beautiful example for us. Now, switching to the New Testament, two examples here I'd like to draw from the New Testament. Not that we'll spend much time on it, but Matthew 26, verse 30, I find it interesting that Jesus himself sang with his disciples. This was really before the battle, in a sense, or it was in the midst of the battle that Jesus sang here. It says this was right after they had eaten the Last Supper together. It says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." I don't know what for song that was. Was it a psalm out of the book of Psalms? Or was it a hymn that was written sometime after or by the time Jesus was on the scene there? I'm not sure what for song they sang together. But they sang together. And Jesus sang. Jesus sang with his disciples. Then in the book of Acts, we have another example in Acts 16, verse 25. We have Paul and Silas. They were preaching the gospel, and they had cast out this spirit out of a woman who was crying after them. And Paul rebuked the spirit, and the spirit left the woman, It was a trial for the people who were using her as gain. And so they caught Paul and Silas, and they beat them severely and put them in prison. So that's where we find them in Acts 16, verse 25. And it was midnight. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What happened after that? Did everything just go off nice and calm? Or was there something that God did when they prayed and sang praises to God? We know the story how there was a great earthquake. The prison doors flew open. The jailer was going to commit suicide. And Paul stopped him. Don't do any harm to yourself. We're all here. We're all here. He came trembling to Paul and Silas. Don't know what all the exchange was between them there. But it ends up, Paul and Silas ends up in this jailer's house. This man has a change of heart. His family has a change of heart. They were baptized that night. God did a marvelous work. What a marvelous deliverance it brought to Paul and Silas. What a marvelous deliverance it brought to the jailer and his family. But what if Paul and Silas would do like you and I tend to do, and we would have been brushing off the things that, you know, about midnight, we would have been thinking about all the soreness and all the pain that we were experiencing and all the troubles that we got ourselves in by preaching the gospel, and we'd be pitying ourselves there in a corner somewhere of the prison cell and wondering what God's going to do next. Why are we in this situation? Why did God allow this? And maybe they had some of those thoughts. I don't know. They might have. But it says they prayed and they sang praises. And then God did this marvelous thing. The song of the redeemed. I believe that was what they were singing. The song of the redeemed. Here's a key verse to why I believe we should sing. In Romans 15, verse 8 to 12, he says these words. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And here's the verse. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. I believe that's key to singing, is that realizing that we as Gentiles, we did not deserve to be redeemed. We did not deserve to be redeemed. In the Old Testament, we would have been done for. But in the New Testament, God made a way to redeem all mankind. And Jesus said, whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Everyone. In the Old Testament, it wasn't that way. The Jewish people were God's people. But today, we as Gentiles are allowed into the kingdom of God, a place forbidden in the Old Testament for a Gentile to enter the temple. I don't know what would have happened. Been stoned, probably. They weren't allowed in there. But today, we can approach the throne of grace. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's something to sing about. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Ephesians 5 tells us that we are to sing and to praise with hymns. It says singing to, how does that go again? Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Some of the songs are for our own benefit. Some of the songs are to bring praise unto God and to lift up his name and to rejoice in who he is. And here he's talking about us talking of all his wondrous works in song. Again, the same chapter, 1 Chronicles 16, in verse 23, says, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. That's the song of the redeemed. To show from day to day. That sounds like it's more than just when we come together on Sunday and maybe Wednesday evening that we sing a little together. But from day to day, we should rejoice in this salvation. And what a challenge to me just to think about that. How often and how many times a day do I lift up that name of Jesus and think about the redemption and the purchase that he made when he purchased me? I'd like to just sum up some of my thoughts here. And they all end up with sing, okay? If God has redeemed your life from destruction, sing. If God has had mercy upon you as a Gentile, God has had mercy upon us. He wouldn't have had to. He could have left us in that bondage of drugs and alcohol and wickedness and immorality and all of these things. He could have left us right there. But he didn't. He called us. He beckoned us. Come unto me, all ye that labor. If God has had mercy on you, sing. If you've been forgiven your sins, sing. If God has become your salvation, that's something to sing about. If your salvation is built on anything else, it's going to fail. If your faith needs strengthened, sing. Sing about God. Sing about how great he is. You'll be amazed. If you're struggling to gain the victory over a sin in your life, sing. If God has helped you through a difficult time, sing. If you want to bring God glory with your life, sing. If you want to enter into his presence, sing. Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If you plan on spending eternity with God in heaven, sing. It's going to be a big part of heaven. It's singing. We can start here by singing the song of the redeemed. Obviously, you need to be redeemed first and foremost. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And again, Isaiah 51, verse 11, "Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion." Zion is a type of the church oftentimes. And I think, what a beautiful time to get together and sing. When we've been redeemed by the Lord. It says, "An everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." It would be a blessing this morning, and I purposefully I'm cutting this short because I think it would be a blessing if Zion would sing. If the church, the redeemed, would sing the song of the redeemed. And we would just take a little time and let that be a praise and glory to the Lord. Just as an expression of what we've been learning and hearing about here this morning. And maybe for starters, we want to sing a song here as a family, if we can. I think there's a few maybe a little short here, but we'll do the best we can. So maybe I'll ask the family to come up and see if we can sing a song together to the Lord. if it's working out for you. If you could turn my microphone off, please. Maybe Joel could come and lead us for about 15 minutes, in some songs, and then maybe after that we can have testimonies or whatever you have to share. Lord bless you.